Buglers, we are live from Leicester Square Theatre on the 16th of September with Chris Addison and Alice Fraser. It might be our only London date of the year, so get your tickets now. Oh, get them at thebuglepodcast.com. That bit's important.
Ryan Reynolds here from Mint Mobile. With the price of just about everything going up during inflation, we thought we'd bring our prices down. So to help us, we brought in a reverse auctioneer, which is apparently a thing.
Mint Mobile Unlimited Premium Wireless. How to get 30, 30, how to get 30, how to get 20, 20, 20, how to get 20, 20, how to get 15, 15, 15, 15, just $15 a month? Sold!
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Quality sleep is essential. That's why the Sleep Number Smart Bed is designed for your ever-evolving sleep needs. Need a bed that's firmer or softer on either side? Helps you sleep at a comfortable temperature? Sleep Number Smart Beds let you individualize your comfort, so you sleep better together. J.D. Power ranks Sleep Number number one in customer satisfaction with mattresses purchased in-store. And now, save 50% on the Sleep Number Limited Edition Smart Bed for a limited time. For J.D. Power 2023 award information, visit jdpower.com/awards. Only at a Sleep Number store or sleepnumber.com.
This is a podcast from The Bugle.
Catharsis, the process of releasing and thereby providing relief from strong or repressed emotions. Hello, welcome to Catharsis, a podcast where I lend a friendly ear to some fellow comedians who need to get some issues off their chests. I'm like a therapist, but free, and therefore completely unqualified. We will be digging into pet peeves, old wounds, and unpopular opinions. You can sweat the small stuff with me. Before I intro my guest, I'd like to get into something. So, Paul and I did a lot of yoga with Adrian during lockdown, and the other day we were doing a yoga with Adrian and I let rip with this gigantic fart, and 2 seconds later on screen she said, breathe in deep and notice the quality of the air around you. And it was like the universe had conspired to make the timing of this so perfect. And then we had to stop because we were laughing too much, and I had actually destroyed yoga. I have more fart gags coming, but I'm holding them in. Here's the thing, I think women really panic about farting in front of their boyfriends, and I let one go within the first month of seeing my now husband. So we got married about 6 weeks ago, after 15 years, that's how long it took for the smell to leave. I think my point is, ladies, believe in yourselves. As my friend kept saying to me, I think it's really feminist act that you fart in front of him. And I'm like, is it? Or is it just laziness? I'm going to let that go. Like, I think because my farts are quite cute, I think because they're loud, but they're not smelly, which I think describes my personality. Like, loud, but not smelly, which is a term that's used much more in America, I think, than here, as a personality type or an opinion. That's a bit smelly. I am joined by American Whirlwind, comedian, dog wrangler, podcaster and SNL writer Rosebud Baker.
Thank you. I love dog wrangler. That's so perfect. Oh my God. That was such a perfect intro because I just came from Italy. Oh. And, you know, my husband and I, we were there to like have this romantic getaway. And we spent 5 days just rolling around the hotel room farting. Like, we could not. Every night we'd go back and we'd be like, okay, tonight's the night. We're going to do it. We're going to make it happen. This is our vacation. And we'd get so full that we were like, I'm disgusting. Don't touch me. I'm going to sit on that side of the room and fart, and you sit on the other side of the room and fart. And that's all we did for 5 days.
Let's start the show by getting into one of your old grudges. This is where we ask a guest, do you have something you've been holding on to? A situation from the past, could be with a friend, could be from your childhood, could be from work, could be from school, where you're like, I'm really annoyed about this. Let me just get this out there. We give you some gripe water and right. Hopefully help settle it.
I mean, there's so much to choose from in my life, but I feel like I have some sort of curse, some sort of universal curse where I don't like to deal with, I've been avoiding my therapist. Let me just start with that. Okay. So I've been avoiding my therapist, and mostly because I don't enjoy talking about my problems.
You're ghosting him.
I'm ghosting him. listen, we've been talking to each other for 10 years. So it's a 10-year-long relationship. Right. Okay.
Well, you say relationship, I say employee.
That's
employer relationship.
Essentially, yeah. It's a professional relationship. And I have not been returning his calls because I go through periods of time where I really get jealous of people that have never done therapy before, where they seem so sure of themselves in a way that you really can only seem that sure of yourself if you are making up the answer.
Right. If you've never explored.
If you're not like trying to find the truth along the way, you are making up the answer and committing to it.
Well, I can give you an example of this that just popped into my head as you were saying that. There was a comic who started out quite young and he's a really great comic, but he did lots of stuff about being a staunch atheist. And I sort of thought, wow, but it just made me think, you've never had to question it. You're like, right. These are the opinions. Everyone tells me there's no God, da, da, da. And I was like, have you had that point in your life where you're like, I wish there was a God? So you can go through all of that and to come back, to be so certain that people who believe in religion are stupid so young.
Right. It's almost like you're more zealous than they are.
Yes. Yes.
There's like a zealotry to atheism that is very similar to a reborn Christian.
But
yeah.
But it was just the fact that he seemed so certain. I was like, have you gone through all of this? Have you had religion, lost it, found it again? Did you not have it, found it, maybe stuck with it? Like it felt like he'd arrived at a destination, but none of the traveling had just been dropped off for atheism.
Right. And he was like, this is who I am.
Yes. Yeah. Yeah.
I look at people like that and I get so jealous because they have this kind of, I don't know what to, I just confidence that I wish I still had. Do you know what I mean? But my whole life has been, there's like, if you could put a theme on it, it's like no shortcuts, you know?
Yeah.
So I'll avoid therapy for like long periods of time and then just destroy things in my life and eventually go back like defeated, and I'm like, oh, God, I just have to take responsibility for my actions. And, you know, so there's this kind of, I have this kind of resentment, this kind of like, oh, God, I wish I could be you thing.
Yes.
In me, where I see someone who is just like influencers.
Yeah.
You know?
It's youth as well. A lot of the time it's the confidence of youth.
I would say that, except that I never had it then either. Do you know what I mean? It's like my whole life has been like this.
Right.
You know?
So you were literally like, your first words were, well, let me tell you about what happened last week.
Yeah. Yes.
Can we open with attachment issues?
Yeah. I was like a toddler. Like, what's the point? You know, just this kind of like depressed toddler. And I wish that I had this kind of, when I see people on Instagram influencing, you know, and they're dancing in the middle of the street and they're just having the time of their lives. I'm like, what, has nothing bad ever happened to you? I get so upset at these people.
Yes.
So I think it's that. I think that would be my main gripe.
Right. There was an influencer during lockdown, like the first lockdown.
Mm-hmm.
Or maybe the second, because people were really, I remember people were like super raging.
Mm-hmm.
So this influencer turned up somewhere, I feel like in Dubai, on a camel on the beach. And it was so like, it couldn't have missed the mark more than Lawrence of Malabia. Like that moment in Sex and the City. I was like, what is this person doing?
Yeah.
Just like, I like, oh, but I have to do it because it's my job. And I was like, to look stupid on the back of a camel in Dubai, is that your job? Is it?
Yeah.
Like, read
but
the
it
room.
Is. That is their job. Like, it's almost like you can't even blame them for it because, yeah, that is what they do. You know? I mean, it's...
So basically, your grudges with your therapist and people that have not done work on themselves and are confident, I do think they go hand in hand. I think once you start... Because we work in comedy, we know there's so much grey in everything. Nothing is really black and white. And then you start digging into your opinions. And then you start going, oh, but I can see this aspect as well, which we call nuance, which is in short supply at the moment. I think it's running out like fossil fuels.
Yeah.
So
like helium. There's like a there's a limited amount in the world, and we're just once you lose it, you can't get it back.
Yeah, yeah.
You know.
So this guy you've been seeing for so, do you think it's time to move on? I just want to help you heal this wound. Do you think it's time to get a new therapist?
I've thought about that. I was like, maybe I need to see a woman. You know, maybe I should go see a woman. And then I thought, well, is the problem that he's a man? And is the problem that, him? And I thought, no, I think that wherever I go, this would be the issue. Is like, the problem is me. It always ends up, the problem is me and the way that I...
Wherever you go, there you are.
Yes, exactly. And I just keep wondering, I wonder if there's going to be a point in my life where I stop resisting feeling good, you know? Because that's really when I go, I feel really good. I feel like I don't feel self-pity. I feel like there's a purpose to the things that are happening to me. I might not know what it is yet, but I'll figure it out as I go. And but something deep within me just goes, no, you know? and I think I enjoy fighting these tiny little imperceptible wars in myself and then eventually surrendering over and over and over again.
To happiness.
To happiness. I'm just a toddler being dragged to a warm bath. Do you know what I mean? That's my life.
Yeah. I love that. That's such a beautiful, perfect description because I think many of us are. Yeah. Just, I want to know what's going on. What if I miss something? What if I, oh, over here's what will make you happy.
Right.
I feel like my husband says that I am like, he was like, when you've got your focus on, it's like a laser and it's incredible what you can achieve. And he was like, and you should be hunting wildebeest.
Yes.
You should be going apex predator, but then all of a sudden there's a mouse runs across the room and you're following the mouse. And I don't, lions don't follow mice, you know, just like go after right. something. Stop getting distracted by stuff that's not important, which is the things that stop me being happy. And then I try and go, just maybe the reason for my being here as a human being is to experience joy and
right.
keep expanding and learning and creating and experiencing. And it doesn't have to be, but I think they're so inbuilt within us from growing up. There's, and I mean, this is a genuine therapy thing that we could unpack over hours.
Mm-hmm.
That is, you know, all the reasons we feel we don't deserve things and our self-loathing and everything else that gets in the way of just going, isn't it magic that I'm alive? Like it's mad. I'm here.
Right.
I exist in the same world as this cat that is trying to attack me when I'm talking about apex predators, no less.
Right.
But that I exist, he exists, we're here, and I only get to do this once. And then suddenly you sort of remember all of that and you're like, what am I doing with my life? What am
yeah.
I doing?
Yeah, and then even that becomes almost, I would argue, a waste of time. A different way to
yes.
waste your time.
Yes.
Because you go, why aren't I enjoying my life? And yeah. you're like, I don't know, maybe because you're hitting yourself, like
yeah.
trying to enjoy your life, like,
yeah.
you know, punishing yourself because you don't enough.
Yes.
And so, yeah, I think
I'm feeling bad about feeling bad.
Right. I just wish, and I hope that eventually the amount of therapists I've paid and groups that I've gone to and medications and all the things that I've done to adjust to be a healthy person, right? I hope that eventually I just get to not do those things. That's I think that's what I've been telling myself all along and why I go, okay, I'm done. I've graduated. I fixed myself. I'm cured. And I just decide I'm done with therapy. And then something else,
something happens.
I start to look at the way my husband chews and I go, nope, I'm not fixed yet.
I'm going to need to send a text immediately.
Quality sleep is essential. That's why the Sleep Number Smart Bed is designed for your ever-evolving sleep needs. Need a bed that's firmer or softer on either side? Helps you sleep at a comfortable temperature? Sleep Number smart beds let you individualize your comfort, so you sleep better together.
J.D. Power ranks Sleep Number number one in customer satisfaction with mattresses purchased in-store. And now, save 50% on the Sleep Number Limited Edition smart bed for a limited time. For J.D. Power 2023 award information, visit jdpower.com/awards. Only at a Sleep Number store or sleepnumber.com.
Hold up. What was that? Boring. No flavor. That was as bad as those leftovers you ate all week. Keke Palmer here. And it's time to say hello to something fresh and guilt-free. HelloFresh. Jazz up dinner with pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Now that's music to my mouth. HelloFresh. Let's get this dinner party started. Discover all the delicious possibilities at HelloFresh.com.
This is a section of the podcast we call Topical Cream, which is where we apply some stingy balm to a news story that's got you all het up. So tell me, what's on your mind at the moment?
I would say, I don't know if it's been news here, but there's been yet another shooting at Walmart. Yeah. In the States, in the same week that there was, within the same 7-day period that there was a shooting at Q nightclub. So, you know, this is something where it's every week in America. Some
707, I think that was. Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. Because I looked, I didn't even know there was a mass shooting tracker. Mm-hmm. But you can find, which is, when you say that, that's just such a mad, like a period tracking app, mass shooting track, you know, like.
Truly an apocalyptic, it sounds like an apocalyptic app that, you know, but yeah, it's really bad. It's really bad. And I don't know why we can't seem to fix it. I know why. It's money. And I know that we can, but we won't. So yes. That's what's so frustrating. It's like America has a problem that they know about, that they're aware of, that they could fix, that they won't fix. And that's exactly what I just said I've been dealing with personally.
Well, you know, I think because often you say the people, and I was sort of, I think I was on Twitter sort of saying that I was thinking about my friends in America and the mm-hmm. collective trauma mm-hmm. that I just cannot fathom, like watching it happen over and over again and feeling very helpless about it. And then someone went, what about knife crime in the UK? And I was like, you can't take out just like throngs of people with knife crime. It's the word I was going to say is intimate. I mean, it's horrific, but like, you know, you could joke like America's, we love the subtle art of knife crime or whatever, you know, but like if you're going to stab someone,
right,
there's a limited amount that of you can people. Do. And it's happening here, and it's shocking and it's scary and it's devastating.
And it's not a competition.
It's not a competition, right. I'm sure you've talked about this loads in your stand-up. I've talked about it in stand-up, but you know, do you believe that people should have like nuclear weapons in their back garden? Do you believe someone should own a tank? No, then you believe in some kind of weapons control. Right. This is just control of the guns. It's registering of the guns, you know,
right, yeah.
Like as we've seen in the last couple, like, so you believe in gun control. If you don't, like, or you say to someone, okay, so you believe there's a right to bear arms. Yeah, right. And I was like, do you believe that this mentally ill person should have a gun? Do you believe this underage person? And they'll say no. And that is gun control.
Right. Right. And it's America has this obsession with, like, you know, well, if the government comes to take my house, I need my gun.
Right.
And it's like, no one has come to what? First of all, if the government comes to take your house and you have a gun, they're still going to take your house. Do you know what I mean?
Yes.
You can shoot somebody, but they're still going to take your fucking house because you haven't paid for your house. Do you know?
Yeah.
So I don't know why Americans think that that's somehow going, first of all, it's not a problem. Nobody's doing that. But
is it to overthrow the government? It was initially put in place to say,
yes,
if you need to, which there was an insurrection.
Right. There was an insurrection. I believe that, and it's funny because That was the thing that they all were like, this is why we need our guns. Nobody was shooting up the fucking... Let's put it this way. If there were two insurrections, one in Walmart and one in the state, in the Capitol,
yeah,
Walmart was more successful.
Right.
Okay? So I don't know why they're looking at it like that.
Well, we had one shooting here, so you may be aware of our history here with, we had a school shooting, Dunblane mm-hmm. massacre.
Mm-hmm.
And then they just banned semi-automatic rifles, like immediately. That was right. just one tragedy was enough to instantly. Also, remarkably, in the school in Dunblane when it happened, in the classroom was like a, I think he might have been five or six, Andy Murray, the mm-hmm. tennis player.
Mm-hmm.
And he spoke about the effect that had on his entire life. And also he got lifts in, I think, to go to after school clubs with the shooter.
Mm-hmm.
So like it was just this normal person in the midst, which people always say, right. they seem fine, they seem normal. Like, and you know, a lot of the time people do seem fine and seem normal, but you don't know what could be going on mentally with anyone at any given time. But this kid in the last case, I think, had a red flag, so shouldn't have been able to buy a gun. So the proper checks hadn't gone through with this kid who threatened to like do a pipe bomb or right. threatened to bomb his mum.
Yeah, I mean, but the government reacting in a way where they go, oh, let's fix this. Let's ban semi-automatic weapons. That alone shows such a respect for human life.
Yes.
And with America, it's like we value money over human life over and over and over and over again. We value corporations, you know, the NRA. That is the American way. Now, I do
the
believe
NRA
that-
to America is like FIFA to
yes
football, right?
Right.
Right. It's all about money and principles and everything else. Sort of mm-hmm. they fund so many of the congressmen, right? Is that right? Right?
Yeah. 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 There's so much money.
Basically.
Everything in America is for profit. Our politics, our healthcare, the guns, the everything. So, and originally, I think that the idea behind it was you create your own life. You are, you know, the capitalist ideology was you build your own life in this amazing, self-sufficient way. But the problem is that human beings have an ego, and the ego will attach itself to anything, even the church, right?
Yeah.
Have you ever met like someone whose ego is attached to their religion? It's disgusting.
Yes. Yes. Yeah.
And that's what's happened, you know? Right.
And a lot of the time within religion, there's a basic kind of be decent and be kind thread running through it.
Right.
And attaching your ego to it is then not making it about
right.
the person who your religion is built around.
Yeah, no, it's like the ego has an incredible ability to like take something and just twist it and make it something different. And
I do think if I lived in America, well, depending on what state I lived in, having shot a gun before, I did one for a TV show where we had to do a couple of days with the army, and I was like, oh, I enjoy shooting guns in that kind of, this is like not people, but you know, targets and stuff like that. And I was like, yeah. Oh, I actually quite enjoy that.
Yeah, I grew up doing it too.
Right, right. Yeah. So I'm anti the idea. But if I lived in somewhere like Louisiana, I went to Louisiana and I have talked about this before in my stand-up, but that is open carry. And I try and explain it to people in the UK, like, it's not just open carry, it's actively incentivized, as in the shops offer a 10 to 15% open carry discount.
Right.
So I'm sort of explaining to British people that means you go into the shop, you show your gun, they give you the discount. If they don't, you just take whatever you like, because effectively you walked in with 100% discount right, in your yeah. hand, right?
Right.
But if yeah. you're poor in somewhere like Louisiana, can you afford to not have a gun? And would you not want to have a gun in Louisiana
right.
when everyone else has a gun?
Right.
Why are you going to be the one sucker, like
yeah.
the one idiot without a gun when everyone else has one?
Exactly.
So it just kind of feeds itself.
Mm-hmm.
I was also told that lots of people had guns because they have a rampant pig problem in Louisiana. And I was like, kind of rude you say that to my face. It was actually an agricultural issue, but
yeah.
you know, but that's so it's so in the DNA mm-hmm. of America. It
oh,
feels
yeah.
like in a way that it wasn't here. So it feels harder to separate it from that. And then, yeah, so people are going to go, I think people who don't have power and are maybe poor and have guns go, I'm not going to let the rich people with power and guns take my guns.
Right.
I think the main worry is it that their gun's going to get taken, but other people's won't.
Yeah, and they're also, I mean, it's such a layered problem because there's a difference between people who enjoy hunting for sport in America, like who own rifles, and then there are people who want to own semi-automatic guns, which people who are not in the military, people who have no business owning a semi-automatic weapon, and they just go, oh, yeah, no, I need this. And you're like, for what? And they're like, I don't know, but someday I'm going to need it. You're like, okay, what?
So should there be a thing like where you have to take a test before you're allowed to get behind the wheel of a car? You have to have a driver's license.
Mm-hmm.
So surely there must be a way of putting in of just kind of going, I guess it would involve an amnesty. And that's the bit that people don't want, of kind of going, you've got to give up all your guns and then we're going to go out and make everyone take an exam or a test to show that they understand gun safety, that right. they're, you know, mentally in a good place to own this, that they have, you know, who needs in the middle of a city, who's going to need a semi-automatic?
Right.
That should sort of be the first question. You're like, why are you buying this in New York?
I mean, all of this has been like proposed to them, you know, as like a reasonable measure. And the American psyche goes, well, all right, well, what's next? Are you going to give me a test to see if I can get pregnant? And it's like, people go, I mean, no, but also that would be a good idea. Like, you know, so it's like this constant argument where you're like, oh my God, just put me to sleep. Like,
yeah. And I feel that this is a topical story that I can't apply any cream to. There's no balm because yeah. every time it happens, I feel like it's just freshly upsetting all over again, isn't it?
I should have given you a softball.
No, I like that. No, it's important that we talk about heavy stuff on here as well. Firstly, that's very important, and secondly, sometimes there aren't answers. That's life.
Yeah,
right,
that is life.
Move here, that is one answer.
That's a great, thank you. Yes, would you sponsor my visa, please?
I'll sponsor your visa, there you go. As your therapist for this podcast, I'm suggesting that you move to London and
I love that.
Come and do comedy here.
Just the thought of it relaxes my whole spine, honestly. Right.
Thank you for sharing your topical fears. Topical fears, I'm going to call them that. This is the section of the show, a bit more lighthearted, maybe, maybe not. Doesn't matter. We can do either. We call this unpopular opinion. So this is a thing that everyone hates but you love, or vice versa. Hit me.
Okay. For me, I don't know. Dog sweaters. Dogs in sweaters.
Okay.
Dogs in sweaters. Dogs in strollers. I go nuts for that. I just think people hate it. They go, what are you doing? And I look at a dog in a sweater and it's like pop music. I'm like, how can you not dance a little bit? You know, it's just fun.
Right. Okay. That's my equivalent of seeing a baby goat. I'm obsessed with baby goat videos. Oh my God. On yes. Instagram.
Yes.
Yeah.
Oh, the way they hop around.
Yes.
They're little... just so happy.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, that's seeing a dog. And what I also really like is a really miserable looking dog or mm-hmm. quite ugly dog in yes. something very cute
mm-hmm.
to like offset, you know, like something really droopy and drooling
yeah
in a like little pink sweater is very funny.
I know, my dog is actually like kind of ugly, but sometimes I find myself wishing that she had some sort of you know, half of her mouth missing so her tongue hung out the side, you know.
Yeah,
sometimes I'm like, you could have been a little more fucked up.
Yeah. I want a really, yeah, yeah, I want a dog with real personality.
Right.
I don't want it just cruising by on its cute button nose.
No, no. Earn your keep.
Yeah, yeah. No, I'm with you. I love it. I love to see it. It makes me, I'll tell you what, if you like that kind of thing, you need to go to the south of France, because the one time we went to Cannes, I couldn't believe, there was two things that struck me is, everyone has Pomeranians in the south of France.
Yeah.
And people were walking around with them in papooses
oh.
and in little buggies.
I love it. I love
you would
that.
See someone, you're like, oh, there's a woman with her baby. And then just this furry face.
I know. And then the Pomeranians are so cute because they all have like little eyeliner. Like if you've noticed, like their eyes are perfectly lined. Like,
yes. Yeah.
Like Elizabeth Taylor or something. I'm like, oh,
how do you feel about dog mommy or dog mom?
I feel fine about that. I'm like, absolutely. I get it. If it pisses off moms, I don't care.
Yeah.
I don't care. I'm like, well, you made your choice, you know?
Speaking as a cat mother.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I would call myself a dog mom.
Yeah.
And I have embryos on ice as I speak, human embryos. So I still call myself a dog mom.
Historic beef, or aurochs, is what we call this section of the podcast. And aurochs is a prehistoric form of cattle. So I will just introduce this by saying, for a long time in my stand-up, I've talked about how brands like to weaponize figuratively and literally war rhetoric when selling products. So you normally see it with women with beauty products. It's like, fight the signs of aging, battle crepey neck, annihilate spots, defy the Geneva Convention on your crow's feet. Like, it's full on, right?
Yeah.
Women are supposed to go to war with their faces. So in the late 70s, two brands went at each other so hard, they called it the Coca-Cola Wars.
Mm-hmm.
Now, I don't know if this is just like Coca-Cola Wars is huge in America, but let's give a little bit of backdrop before we get into it. In 1886, John Stith Pemberton, a pharmacist from Atlanta, Georgia, developed the original recipe for Coca-Cola. By 1888, control of the recipe was acquired by Asa Griggs, who in 1896 founded the Coca-Cola Company. 2 years later, in 1898, Caleb Bradham renamed his Brad's drink to Pepsi Cola and formed Pepsi Cola in 1902, prompting the beginning of the Cola Wars.
Right.
So basically, the start of the war was the two companies going at each other with different advertising techniques, such as sort of Coke's first celebrity endorsement and the 1915 contour bottle, or as we call it, the sexy woman bottle, right?
Absolutely. Yeah.
That's shameless Coca-Cola. They've done sexy woman. Mm-hmm. Until market instability following World War One, an actual war, forced Pepsi to declare bankruptcy in 1923. And then in 1931, they went bankrupt again and began selling its products like really cheap, 5 cents a bottle. And then reigniting the Cola Wars through to today. Pepsi offered to sell out to Coca-Cola following both its bankruptcies, but Coca-Cola declined. So then we get to the 70s and the 80s, which is where I imagine we would know more about, which is the Pepsi Challenge, Coke versus Pepsi. Where are you in this war?
In terms of which side I'm on?
Yeah.
I would say I'm more on the side of Coke.
Yeah.
I would say I'm a Coke drinker.
Me too.
I also just find like Pepsi's just something that I get when it's the only thing available, right? Yeah. And I feel like that's true kind of across the board. I don't know anybody who goes directly in for a Pepsi. I know there's people out there. I'm not saying, I know if you're listening and you're a Pepsi drinker, I deeply apologize. you know, I thought that Pepsi was, I remember it having its heyday in the 90s. Like, I remember the Cindy Crawford commercial, where the Super Bowl commercial, where she goes out at the gas station. She's in the white tank top and the jean cutoffs, and she pops like a quarter into the vending machine and she drinks a Pepsi, and these guys are just like, you know what I mean? They're just coming all over the side of their pickup. And I remember it being a big thing back then, and I remember the Pepsi catalog where you could drink. There's a whole documentary about it right now.
Oh, is it Pepsi Stuff where you
Pepsi Stuff. Right. Exactly. Where you could get like a, I remember even looking at that as like core memory stuff.
Yeah.
Where that's how important that ad campaign was, where I remember looking at the Pepsi Stuff and being like, cool. Whoa, this is for people much older than me, but like, cool.
So it's interesting because just remembering that Cindy Crawford Pepsi ad is going, that's Pepsi definitely appealing to the male demographic, whereas Coke and specifically Diet Coke tried to appeal to women. So you would have all these, and I will say, do as many sexy man Diet Coke adverts as you like, it still tastes like an ashtray full of water.
Yeah. To go back for a second, I get why it's like a war-themed battle, right? Like, yeah. Especially with Coke. I mean, with skincare, it's like, give it a rest, you know?
Yeah.
I don't need a skincare regimen. But with Coke, I get it because there was cocaine in it.
Right.
So,
oh, okay. So there would have been actual war.
It was going to be a war, you know? Yeah. That was all there was
in the beginnings, in the first iteration of it, because wasn't it sold as a medicine?
Yeah, I believe so.
Right.
And it was, there was cocaine, there was active cocaine in it. So,
I mean, that's a party.
Yeah.
It's a real shame.
I mean, it's losing battle for Pepsi. Like, good luck being number one. Like, this one's got Coke in it.
Okay. Yeah. Well, I do remember, so over here it was slightly different in terms of the drinks. Like, it was always, we saw, like, I think, like, Michael Jackson famously did stuff with Pepsi. So they did these big sort of...
Oh, yeah.
Branded. So I remember seeing famous people being involved with Pepsi.
Mm-hmm.
And I remember the Pepsi Challenge. And then a lot of people landed on the side of Pepsi for that. Like, oh, Pepsi actually tastes better than Coke. So then something happened in the 90s. I think it was the 90s where like Pepsi was just gone here. It was just like, there's no way because Coke. So like Coke, Fanta, Sprite, whatever part of the whole group.
Yeah.
Company
conglomerate.
Yeah, they all did yo-yos.
Yeah, you emailed me about that and I was like, I don't know what that is.
Oh, you didn't have it in America?
No.
Oh, we had. So we were obsessed at school with these. So Laura, the producer, is nodding along here. You would get like, you had to like save the ring pulls, I think it was,
mm-hmm.
and send them off. And then you got a yo-yo. So you would get a Fanta branded yo-yo, a Sprite yo-yo, or a Coca-Cola. And then everyone obsessively yo-yoed and you had to learn all the tricks and you would do walk the dog and then all of these cat's cradle.
Oh, okay.
Like, so it was just like kids doing yo-yo. It's it just sort of landed. I cannot remember how old I was, maybe like 12 or 13. And I know because my husband remembered it as well. And he was like, I had a Fanta one. Oh, I had a Fanta yo-yo. Like, it was like the coolest thing. Like
yeah.
Everyone wanted to get their hands on. It's so funny how that age, you're so susceptible, aren't you, to sort of brat and that bringing back such memories because you got Fanta
yeah.
and then you also had like
no I mean Gino. When I think of like a slap bracelet, something in my soul ignites.
Oh yes,
you know?
Like Marc Jacobs did some a few years ago and
yeah.
I bought them in Bloomingdale's
yeah
and they just bang
my so fun
satisfying satisfying yeah. So we had that so I think in terms of the Coca-Cola Pepsi war, I think Coke won the war here because of that,
because of the yo-yos.
I just don't know if Pepsi could get back in the mix.
So interesting because Pepsi was giving away like leather jackets and I guess they were trying to go for like teens or something.
Right.
I don't know. They did sort of die out because that kid got tried to buy a jet through.
Yes. Now there's a documentary on Netflix yes. about this at the moment, which I haven't seen it, but I remember the story vaguely.
I was watching it this morning. I was like,
is it great?
It's pretty interesting.
Right.
I'm like, this is pretty crazy that this kid, like, you take a kid from Seattle and he gets his mind on something. This kid was just like, yeah, I want that jet, and found an older businessman who was like, yeah, I'll write the check. It's crazy.
So sometimes I think then, you know, rivalry can actually be good in terms of making one side up their game
yeah
or whatever. So and for kids, I like it if kids win a bit.
Oh yeah.
With that, you know, because you had Burger King and McDonald's as well. They were always the two of those, you know, the Whopper versus the Big Mac. But McDonald's always had the toys in the kids' meal.
Mm-hmm.
And so I remember I had a Hamburglar at one point.
Yeah.
I like it when kids win in that situation. That's the positive side of marketing and capitalism.
Right, yeah. I mean, even if it's just like the underdog wins a little bit, like think about when Elon took over and he started charging for the blue check mark.
Yes.
And somebody went out there and like took up a pharmaceutical company and just put out these like fake tweets, and this pharmaceutical company lost billions in like a day. And I just, this part of my, that was like a salve to my
soul.
It was a diet,
someone who provided diabetic.
Yes.
Insulin or like
yeah,
medicine.
They said
or something.
Insulin's free.
Yeah.
And the whole company lost so much money in a day. And I thought,
so a billionaire set it up so that a random person,
yes,
could do a bit of activism and effectively tank another billionaire.
Exactly. Yeah, it was just great.
Before we wrap things up, I like to do something that I call angry aunt, which is where I get angry on someone else's behalf.
I love that.
Like, there's enough agony aunts out there. How about someone who's just angry?
Yeah.
And so we got a listener problem in. So you can tell me your thoughts on this. This is from Will in Australia. He said, I drive trucks at the mines in Oz and I had a mild beef with my cross shift. Apparently I have too many hard hats, brackets, read two, and they're filling up the truck cab. Even though I take one home every day and leave the other, he asked why I have two when I have one head. I replied, one for daytime, one for nighttime, and pointed out to the big sunbrim on one and an LED light attached to my other Rio Tinto helmet. The light can't attach to the other one with the brim. We're getting a lot of hat detail here.
Right.
Am I being unreasonable having two hard hats?
I
think fuck the cross shift.
Yeah, I think have as many hard hats as you want. Like, what if you... I have seven pairs of keys because I'll lock myself out of the house because I'm so ADD.
Right,
so,
yeah.
Yeah, and yes, the neighbors have some of them because how many times can I call a locksmith? Do you know what I mean?
Well, you can see in the hall there's a pile of hats. I say as many hats.
Yeah.
You've got one head, but you might want to wear different hats on different days.
Right.
It sounds like they're filling up the truck cab is such a... It's such a level of hyperbole. Like, mate, I get in the truck every day and you've got so many hard hats in here.
Yeah.
What am I supposed to do? Where am I supposed to put my lunch?
Right.
You know, so it feels like they share a trucks. Yeah, also trucks. He's not even going down the mine. These are driving to and fro. I imagine this is hard, sweaty work.
Screw the guy. I forget it. Have as many, you know what? Buy another hat.
That's what he should do. So this is our advice. Buy another hard hat and then put some like daisies on it, like some stickers, some hearts, some love hearts. Mm-hmm. And you say, that's my hat for funsies.
Yeah, that's my mood hat.
Oh, like a mood ring.
Yeah.
It changes color. Yeah.
And I'll put it on if you stop complaining, you know? Yeah.
There we go, Will. I think we've solved that for you. Just buy one more hat, like really jazz. Make it snazzy.
Right. Or make
bedazzle.
Two. Do two. Do one with a big sad face on it. And when he starts complaining again, you can switch hats. You know, just keep switching them.
Yeah.
Based off of the amount of complaining he's doing for the day.
Yeah. Perfect. Yeah. There you go. I think we've solved that for you.
Mm-hmm.
I think we've solved that for you, Will, in Australia. Thank you for coming on. I hope you feel a bit better having got some of this
really
off your chest.
I really
do. Is there anything you want to plug?
Sure. I have I'm going back on tour starting in January of 2023. All my tour dates will be on my website, rosebudbaker.com. I hope to make it back out to Europe soon.
Yes.
Because I would like to do a European tour. There's so many places I want to go here. So,
yeah. Thank you so much for coming on the podcast. If you've enjoyed the show, please do like it. Write a review. Do those things. And come and follow me on Instagram, Tiff Stevenson Comic, or on Twitter while it's still there. And I'm on tour in May next year. I've got starting May next year, hopefully in America before that. But the tour dates are up on my website, tiffstevenson.co.uk. See you next time.
Thank you.
You can listen to other programs from The Bugle, including The Bugle, Catharsis, Tiny Revolutions, Top Stories, and The Gargle, wherever you find your podcast.
Ever catch yourself eating the same flavorless dinner 3 days in a row? Dreaming of something better? Well, HelloFresh is your guilt-free dream come true, baby. It's me, Keke Palmer. Let's wake up those taste buds with hot, juicy pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Mm. Hello Fresh. Stop dreaming of all the delicious possibilities and dig in at HelloFresh.com. Let's get this dinner party started.
Hey, it's Paige DeSorbo from Giggly Squad. High quality fashion without the price tag. Say hello to Quince. I'm snagging high-end essentials like cozy cashmere sweaters, sleek leather jackets, fine jewelry, and so much more. With Quince being 50 to 80% less than similar brands. And they partner with factories that prioritize safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. I love that. Luxury quality within reach. Go to quince.com/style to get free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. Quince.com/style.